Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Freddy Fazbear's Pizza, a magical place for kids and grown-ups alike, where fantasy and fun come to life.
Cleo, are you still hung up on Five Nights at Freddy's?
Well, duh. I mean, we barely even got to talk about the games last week or any of the lore. Come on, Momo, the lore. It's all about the lore.
Okay, you might be right about that one. So, without any further delays, welcome to this week's episode of Spooky Pasta Sauce, the pop culture and gaming podcast exploring mild, hot, and spicy chills and thrills. I'm your host, Momo, the spooky curious one.
And I'm your host, Cleo, the true believer. Stay informed by following us at Spooky Pasta Pod over on Twitter/X. And check out our new Instagram at Spooky Pasta Sauce. Now bring on the jump scares. This week is all about the original game, Five Nights at Freddy's 1, the OG point and click from 2014 that seems so simple at first.
Like we talked about last episode, you play as a security guard working the night shift. You are fighting for your life against homicidal animatronics because you aren't allowed to leave the security office. Worst job ever.
You are well on your way to becoming an expert. The game starts with a phone call from someone known only as Phone Guy. Even though he is never officially given a name, Phone Guy provides a lot of crucial information about how to survive the night and about the game's lore.
Oh, you know, we love lore.
Yes.
That's a little comforting, I guess. So you watch the cameras from your desk and try to close the doors before any of the animatronics make it inside the security office and get you.
Yep. You've totally got this. You remain stationary the entire game and the scary stuff comes to you. But every night, you get a few more pieces of the underlying mystery. More lore!
But how does Phone Guy know what's going on? Like, is he our boss or just another employee?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, well then give me that lore.
Okay, during night one, we learn that the animatronics get a bit quirky at night. Be aware, the characters do wander a bit because they're left in free roaming mode at night.
No.
Not free roam.
Not the free roam.
Phone Guy tells us that they used to be able to wander around during the day.
Okay.
Until one of the animatronics bit somebody.
Bit someone?
Yep. The victim does survive the bite.
Okay.
But their frontal lobe was totally gone. Destroyed.
Oh.
This is the famous bite of 87.
Yikes.
Phone Guy also tells us that the animatronics will likely see you as a naked endoskeleton.
Okay.
And we will try to forcibly squish you into a suit.
This is just night one.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, during night two, we learn that Freddy, he's the bear, doesn't move much, but he does become more active in the dark.
So you better not run out of power.
Oh my God, so scary. Yeah. Okay. Be sure to also keep an eye on Foxy in Pirate Cove. He is rather shy and will become more active the longer you ignore her. Yikes.
Big yikes. And yeah. Foxy doesn't mess around.
No, it doesn't.
That hook hand.
Mm-hmm. I'm really fast, right? That's Foxy.
Oh, yeah, super fast.
Yeah.
Like, once she is peeked all the way out of the curtain in Pirate's Cove,
yeah,
you're done. You're
He's
done.
Like, don't ignore me. I'll find you.
I will come for you. Don't look at me, but if you don't, I'm gonna get you. Well, on night three, we learn that most people don't make it this far.
Understandable.
But don't worry, you know, they just got other jobs and, you know, things like that. But you better be prepared because, and I quote, things are getting real tonight. Phone guy suggests that if you are caught, you should try going limp and playing dead. Which he very quickly realizes would also be a bad idea because then they might think that you're an empty suit and try and shove an endoskeleton into you.
Oh, no, no, no. None of that.
I feel like that would be much worse. Oh,
yeah. Ugh. So gross. Okay. During night four, we learn things do not seem to be going well for Phone Guy. Yikes. Lots of loud banging noises can be heard throughout tonight's call in the background. Phone Guy says, if you get the chance, you should check inside the suits in the back room. He was always curious about what was in the empty heads. Ugh.
I'm not all that curious.
I think, you know, some things are left to be imagination. It's fine. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, this call ends with animatronic screams and the Torridor March, which is the Five Nights at Freddy's scary music, which goes do 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 do, but obviously slower and a lot creepier. So it ends with that playing in the background. Yikes.
Big yikes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that also is what plays if you get jump scared by Freddy. Mm-hmm. I don't think that things are going very well for Phone Guy.
Yes, poor Phone Guy.
Aside from Phone Guy, a lot of the lore in Five Nights at Freddy's 1 comes from newspaper clippings that can be found posted on one of the walls in the back hallway.
Oh, very interesting.
Yes, lots of Easter eggs hidden
about. Yeah, yeah.
All four articles explain that multiple children were lured into a back room by someone wearing a character costume. Although a suspect has been identified and convicted, the children's bodies were never found.
No. That's so, ooh.
It almost makes it worse, right?
Yes. Unsolved mystery at the Freddy Fazbear's.
This is also where we learn that there were five missing children.
Okay.
Which are believed to be haunting five of the animatronics.
Oh my god.
The whole five thing is very important.
Okay.
You know, there's five characters. You gotta have a ghost child for each one.
Oh, yeah.
But the articles also explain that the pizzeria is being threatened with shutdown due to complaints about a foul odor.
What?
Coming from the mascots and what looks like blood dripping from their eyes.
Ugh, not the eyes. Oh. This is like a place like a Chuck E. Cheese where you'd bring like your family. Oh my god.
Yeah, so no. It's the parents that are complaining about the smell of the animatronics.
Abby could be called Department of Public Health too. Sheesh.
Somebody needs to check this place out.
Something's definitely not right. Okay, now how about some game theories? Ooh, we love a game theory. What have we learned? The animatronics aren't just terrifying, but they are also possessed by the spirits of murdered children looking for revenge.
Looking for revenge.
Oh my gosh.
Awesome 87. But that's correct. Someone is out conducting shady business at Freddy Fazbear's Pizza.
Oh, jeez, so shady. Another mystery from the game, one that left fans asking questions, is Foxy. What's with the out-of-order sign?
Some fans think it might have just been a trap to lure kids off to a quiet area. Because Foxy definitely works.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Foxy is playing the long game. Oh, my
gosh. That long con.
Yep,
long con. Don't go over to Pirate's Cove.
Jeez. Okay, well, how about the it's me thing? Who keeps saying that to us in the game?
This one isn't super clear because it happens frequently as a hallucination in the game. And multiple different characters say it as well. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be FNAF if there weren't also other references to it in different games and books, which are all totally different.
Oh my gosh, of course they are. Okay, well, I guess we'll have to save that one for later. But one more question. Who is Mike Schmidt?
That is the name on your final paycheck at the end of the game. So the main character, I suppose.
Okay.
But there are theories that he might know how to work the animatronics.
Oh.
Because if you play all the way through to night 7.
Lord, 7 nights. No.
Yeah. Yeah. If you play through to night 7, you are rewarded with a termination notice for tampering with the animatronics AI.
Oh, right. Because you can like level them up to like customize it, right?
Yeah. So night 7 is custom night. And you can bump up their AI from anywhere between 1 and 20.
Did you say 20?
Yeah.
Why?
I did.
Why would anyone do that?
That is a really good question. That I definitely don't have an answer for. But you get a termination notice for tampering with the AI. Mm-hmm. And it could also, if he does know how they work, it could be an alias for Michael Afton. I don't know.
Oh, interesting. All right. Alrighty then, I guess we should discuss.
How are you doing? How are you feeling?
Feeling shaky. A lot of stuff I didn't need to know, you know? Just a lot of the lore of this game is very dark.
All those details you just gloss over when you're too busy getting super scared.
Oh my god. Like, I didn't notice they had crunchy eyes. Like, ew. Didn't need to know that one. Or the odor. I never thought about that while playing the game. Good thing they don't have smell-o-vision for games, is all I'm saying.
For real?
No, thank you.
Yeah, apparently that's the other reason you got fired. You have bad odor and and you're tampering with the animatronics AI, so you're definitely not good for business.
Worst job.
But hey, just like Phone Guy says, I'd be grumpy too if I had to sing the same songs for 20 years and I never got a bath.
Please wash them.
These are some musty animatronics. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised they smell. Oh, goodness. But these games really honestly are terrifying. It's fun learning the lore from Phone Guy. And it's extra fun because, fun fact, Scott Cawthon, the creator of the games, does the voice of Phone Guy.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah,
that's so fun. Because this is an indie game, right?
Uh-huh. He is a solo developer for all of the core collection.
Okay, so that makes sense. He's Phone Guy then. cool.
Yeah, it's a little DIY. Gotta do a couple of the voices here and there when you're first starting out. But it is also just like a fun little tidbit for your hardcore fans.
Yeah, very cool.
So I've played before, Momo. Mm-hmm. Have you played?
I have vicariously played through the trauma.
Through the trauma.
Yeah, mostly watched like Markiplier play it, and then I've also lately been watching my partner play it. He, I think because we were talking about it, he got interested again, because at one point he did try the VR game, and that was like a no.
Oh, the VR is too much for me.
Yeah. Could not. No, thank you. But yeah.
I think we mentioned it in the movie episode, but literally, whose idea was it for you to be able to lean out the hallway in the VR and see him walking at you? That is so scary.
That, so sneaky peeky.
Like, oh man, yeah. I hope the movie is just like that. Mm-hmm.
That level? Oh, I'm sure. Just from the trailers, it has to be.
This first game is so terrifying, but yeah, you don't really see like whole body shots of them because a lot of the time you're just flipping through the cameras and like there's a lot of really scary close-up shots. So just like their faces and they're just staring at you in the cameras.
It's so gross. Yeah.
And you just have to like watch them as they move throughout the restaurant trying to get closer to you.
Yep.
Oh, it's terrifying. But I do love watching the Markiplier playthroughs.
Yes.
I think part of how big this game is on the internet is all of the people that play it on YouTube.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, if you're too scared, you can just watch someone else play it.
Yep. That's exactly my strategy.
It's okay. And you can see so many of the, like, special events and stuff that happen and, like, special screens and all that crazy stuff. Because, like we mentioned earlier, there are just so many Easter eggs in these games.
Okay, yeah. So, like, even if you did a whole playthrough, you might get things that you wouldn't see if you played it again, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, also, if you're good and you don't die that often, you might not not experience that many different jump scares. Mm-hmm. But if you're really bad, maybe that's the key. If you want to experience the whole game, you just got to be bad.
Yeah. Got to be bad to get the good runs.
To find all the secrets.
Yeah.
I was just trying to see all the jump scares, man. But have you seen that one with Bonnie?
Oh my gosh.
The level of dedication that some people have put into like figuring out all of the little details in these games too is insane. Like, I think Game Theory has literally probably 100 videos at this point on Five Nights at Freddy's. No joke. They've been covering it for years on their YouTube channel. And the Twitter community is alive and well, especially with the movie coming out. Everybody's been chatting about the lore and stuff. And I think that's one of the most exciting parts about Five Nights at Freddy's is that it really is this big, huge mystery that's just been left to the fans to try and figure out for themselves.
Yeah.
Which spawned this crazy internet community of people to being like, no, I'm totally right. And it's because of this. And he's purple. And this is the exact file color used for purple guy. Like, these fans go to insane levels trying to figure out all of the hidden details in this game. Breaking down, like, images and looking at the code in the games and scouring the Scott Cawthon website. It's insane.
Man, wow.
Back to the OG game. Which animatronic are you the most afraid of, Momo?
Bonnie. Always Bonnie. Bonnie is this rabbit, animatronic rabbit, that is so creepy. I think it's a mix of Bonnie and probably from one of the other games with the other rabbit, but it literally gave me nightmares when we were prepping for this. Just like the rabbit looming in the doorway. I'm like, oh my God. Oh,
just standing in the doorway with the eyes. It's the eyes on regular Bonnie for me that really got you. Like some of those dead screams.
Yep.
Just nope. It's like the, you know, it's because it's like that the thing that happens with dogs when they, because they have such big, huge irises and pupils. And then when they look at you and you can just see like the little slit of the whites of their eyes that you normally can't see. I think that's what it is, because the animatronics have such like animal eyes. Oh, it's creepy. It's uncanny. I don't like it.
It really is. And that one, did it for me. Literally gave me nightmares. Literal nightmare fuel, this game.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I think Scott has even said that he's gotten nightmares and jump scared himself working on the game.
He has to. All the hours he put into this, if he didn't, I would be like, is he okay? So I'm going to check on
him. Are you good?
Yeah. Because if not, just make it, then I end up.
I can't imagine.
Okay, and now you.
Me? Okay. I don't know, man. I think it's Foxy. There's just something about the peeking and creeping out behind the curtain. and then it, or maybe I just equate fear and stress together. So the stress of like if you see him peeping out and you're like, oh shit, I gotta get back to the office and close the
door. Is she gonna get me?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because Foxy moves the fastest. You're pretty much screwed once they've peeked all the way out.
Yep. Once you see him, it's like over.
Well, this was exciting, and I can't wait to dig deeper into the rest of the core collection.
The rest of the cores? Yes. More.
Yay! You made it to the end of the episode at 6 a.m. Yay! Well, thank you so much for joining us this week as we discussed Five Nights at Freddy's 1.
Special thanks to our loyal patrons. We truly appreciate your support. If you would also like to support the podcast and join our creepy crew, visit us at patreon.com/spookypastasauce.
Catch you on the flip side.